Everybody happy with the heat? I thought I'd preach a little longer this morning. The gospel takes a decided turn this morning after we've been hearing the miracle stories of our Lord. For the past few weeks, we've been hearing about him healing the sick and calming the wind and the storm on the lake as they crossed. And last week, the raising of Jairus' daughter. All wonderful examples of the gift of the Holy Spirit moving through the Lord Jesus Christ, healing his people and bringing new life to them, restoring them to the fullness of goodness and grace. But this morning, we take a different tact altogether. So now Jesus has come to his own place, Nazareth, we assume, to the village where he was raised. And he goes into the synagogue, and there he begins to preach. Now, normally, the preaching would have been on, you know, the law, the prophets, how you're to follow the law, do good things with the law. That's how salvation was understood. That's how you were in right relationship to Almighty God. But Jesus preaches a different message, because Jesus himself is the inbreaking of the kingdom. And both in word and deed, and the things that he has said and done, and his teaching and his actions, people have begun to realize that. So you would think, as he came to his own home, back with, you know, friends, family, and all that, he would be well received, that they would, you know, give him a hero's welcome and, you know, shout to the rafters and, you know, welcome him and all that. Well, quite the opposite happens. Quite the opposite happens. As he's preaching and talking about the inbreaking of the kingdom, and he himself is that inbreaking of the kingdom. The message of God has come in the person of himself. They take offense at him. And he had to feel, no doubt, a bit of a twang of rejection, perhaps hurt. We're told that he is filled with disbelief. And that sense of rejection probably was kind of a sting to him, being criticized by his own, you know, peers, his own family in that place. None of us likes rejection. Rejection's a terrible, terrible thing. But this is not about rejection, but this is about standing for your peers. Back in seminary, when you were a senior, you had to preach at least once before you graduated. And that was always done at Evensong, which was the gathering of the entire community, including the faculty, your peers, of course, and everybody else. And seniors always sort of dreaded it because you're standing up there, you know, in front of all of your classmates, your professors, whoever else is there. And you're kind of putting yourself out on the line, you know? So you want to, you know, challenge a little bit, but you don't want to be too offensive. You want to, you know, be true to the gospel, of course, but you don't want to be too pedantic, because you can't be, because your professors are sitting there. So you want to hit that sweet spot. So there was a bit of a controversy going on with my class and the senior class. It was the tradition at Neshota House that people should, that the classes would wear their cassocks, at least in the morning, to class. And then in the afternoon, you take them off. Well, the senior class was not as traditional, and my class wanted to be a little more traditional. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But it was sort of a thing that went back and forth. So I thought I'd play off of that a little bit. And so I said, you know, just sort of mentioning in passing about the cassock thing, I said, it's not what we put on, it's what we, you know, share from the inside out in Christ and that sort of thing. Put on Christ, be clothed with his splendor and glory, whatever I said. And it was well received, but I was standing up there before and I'm thinking, you know, what if they don't like this? You know, what if they don't like this? They're not gonna fail me, they're not gonna kick me out. But, you know, there's that twinge inside. Well, I got past it. My professors came up to me and said, good job. One said, you know, and I just always remember this lesson, you know, if you can't hit oil drilling in 10 minutes, stop drilling. In other words, you know, you don't have to preach for 25 minutes to make the point. Make your point, move on, you know, go forward. Anyway, so got past that. But I imagine Jesus standing there with the people that he, you know, loved and they loved him, and he gets this reaction back that they've rejected what he said. They've rejected. And so we're told that he marvels at their disbelief. Now, no doubt they had been aware of all the things that happened in Capernaum. You know, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the casting out of demons. They had heard that. So why could they not believe? Why could they not accept what had already been witnessed to, and why could they not hold on to that? Well, they looked at Jesus with different eyes. They saw him something beneath, you know, below where he was standing. I mean, they call him, you know, is this not the son of the carpenter? And in one translation that I read, a more modern translation, it said, you know, this person, this Jesus, was just the handyman. You know, where did he get all this with? Not that there's anything wrong with handymen, because I can't fix them. But, you know, he said, you know, where did this person get all this wisdom and this knowledge? And rather than hear the words and embrace them for what was being said, that salvation was coming, that the blind were made to see, that the sick were being healed, that the prisoners were being, you know, visited, that the dead were being raised, they cut him down. They say, you know, this person's nothing. This is the handyman, the son of Mary, you know, which was even more of a slap, you know, if they, you know, didn't know the story and accept the story of the virgin birth and how Jesus came to be. So by his own people, he's utterly rejected and utterly scorned. And so he leaves and he goes to teach in other places. Now, of course, this wasn't the first time that the Lord was rejected, and it wasn't going to be the last. You know, he was rejected even by his own disciples. You know, even by his own disciples. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they couldn't wait but 1 hour with him. They fell asleep. That's a rejection. That's not standing there and standing with the Lord. They went to sleep. They took care of themselves. At the cross, nobody was there but Mary and John. All the rest of them fled because they were afraid for themselves. Even Peter, before his passion, rejected him 3 times. You know, I don't know that man. Who is that? I don't know that person at all. Rejected him utterly and completely. And the final and utter rejection, of course, is the crucifixion, you know, where the Lord, you know, is put to death for the good works that he had done, for the witness to the love of God in the world. And yet that power of love was stronger than death, and that rejection of the world was overcome through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a world, and I'm going to say it yet again until you get it and you understand it, we live in a world that rejects the notion of a loving God, by and large. We live in a world that, you know, is self-centered, materialistic, is concerned about itself. We're individuals. We're not a community. I'm not saying St. Andrews, but we out there in the world. But we need to be those witnesses of God's love in the world. You know, as Paul wrote this morning in his epistle, you know, he welcomed that weakness, that rejection, because in that weakness and rejection, he found the strength and the power of the love of God. And he says that not persecution, nor calamities, nor tumults, nor anything, you know, could keep him from his mission of witnessing to that love of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We need to be those disciples in this generation, in this age today, witnessing to that love of Christ in the world to others. Is that an easy thing? No, it's not an easy thing. When's the last time you had a conversation with a stranger about God? Probably, I don't know, maybe you did, I don't know. Somebody, I walked into Sprouts a couple weeks ago in my clericals, picking up some raspberries and some stuff, and the checker said to me, you know, are you a clergy person? I said, yes, I'm an Anglican priest. She said, I'm a Christian too. And I said, good for you, that's wonderful. You know, and thank you for saying that in public. You know, there are other people in line, she didn't have to say that. But she wasn't afraid to do that. She, you know, she came out and said, that's at work too. I am a Christian. I witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I chose to do this right here and now. You know, we should have that courage too. I'm not saying stand on the soapbox on the corner, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid by example or word to share the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you are rejected, and you will be, take that as a sign of honor. Take that as a sign of honor and do that with a welcome gentleness and kindness to the person who rejects you or scoffs at you or looks at you askance, like, what is that all about, this weird nut person? No, you're not. You're not. You're children of God. You're children of God. Witness to that fact. Witness to that love and stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, if we don't, nobody else will. That's what God calls us to do. To love, to witness, to share that grace, and to witness to it always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.